We were discussing last time what we're up to is the halachas of moving one thing and indirectly moving something mukta, right? In other words, let's say on this table there's mukta, so you want to move, instead of moving the mukta, you want to move the table. Now we're talking about in a case, a scenario, where it's not a basis. There's nothing wrong with the table, because we said different scenarios where it's not a basis. But the question is, can you move it indirectly? So the halacha is like this. And it's negate a lot of cases where you want to move something indirectly. Okay? So the halacha is that moving something it's indirectly is called tiltal min hatzad. It's like tiltal through something else. So doing tiltal min hatzad, the halacha depends why you're doing it. If you're doing the tiltal min hatzad in order to really move the thing which is mutter, in other words, you have a table, and on top of the table, you have a candlestick. Okay? If you're moving it, we spoke this out already, but if you're moving it in order to save the table, because you want the table inside, just it happens to be that the candlestick's on top, so we said even though the halacha is supposed to shake it off, but if you can't, you can bring it inside. Okay? But if you're only moving it to save the muktzah, that you're not allowed to do. In other words, when you're moving a muktzah, which is a non-muktzah, which has a muktzah on top of it, you're only allowed to move the whole thing if you're doing it in order to protect the non-muktzah, not in order to protect the muktzah. Okay? Because if you're doing it to protect the muktzah, it's like you're moving the muktzah. Basically, that's your whole intent. Okay? Now, the question is, what about a case where, or if you need the space of the mukta, also you're allowed to do a tiltum in atzad. Let's say the candlestick is blocking you, you're allowed to take the whole tray and move it because you need the space. You're not doing it for the tray or for the table, but you're doing it for the whole space. That's okay. Now, the question comes up very frequently. The question that comes up a lot is, what about, we're talking about indirect tiltum. So what about if you take, let's say you open your freezer, this happened to us. You open your freezer, and the raw kishka and meat falls out of the freezer because we took it out for Shabbos, you know, to prepare the chalent, and whatever we didn't need we put back in the freezer and stuff it in, and when we opened the freezer it fell out, and that meat and kishka is muktzah, so you can't put it back in the freezer, you can't pick it up. But the question is, can you, so let's ask a question like this, would you be able to, let's say, bring a dustpan, put it into the dustpan somehow, get the dustpan underneath it, now you're indirectly moving it, because you're only moving it through the dustpan.
No, because the purpose is for
very good, because the purpose now is for the muktzah. Now, okay, now the question is the following, are you allowed to take a broom and push the kishka and the meat to the side? You're not allowed to move it to the side, but you're allowed to do it with a broom. Is that called indirect tiltal? Because you're doing it through something else. You're doing it through a broom. Or do you say, the only time this whole principle applies of indirect tiltal is when it's sitting on one thing and you're moving it, you know, you're really moving the mutter, just the it's just coming along. Over here, you're specifically moving the mukta, just you're using a broom instead of your hand. So do you say the same thing?
You don't want someone to fall, so you want that space to be safe. You're moving it not because to protect that, but to protect
somebody. Oh, very good. So you're moving it to because you need the space. But you have to be doing tiltum min hatzad. You're not allowed to move it with your hands to protect the space. So the question is moving it with a broom, that's very good. So moving it with a broom, is that called tiltum min hatzad? If it's called tiltum min hatzad, so then Alan's saying very good. Then if it's tiltum min hatzad, then it'll be mutter, because you're doing the tiltum min hatzad for which purpose? To protect the mukta, to protect the space, so it's okay. But the question is, it has to be a tiltum min hatzad. So is this called tiltum min hatzad?
No, it's not. But what if you take something of value and you put next to it?
No, why not?
Because again, I think the whole intent is that we want to move the mukta.
Right.
No,
we don't want
to. No, you try to save the space though, so that maybe
I understand. That's what we're saying, but
you don't want someone
moving.
You don't want someone to trip on it.
But let's say mutter is mutter. If you're doing it for the purpose of the space, that's okay.
Uh-huh.
But the question is, there's a big machlokes in the Acharonim about this. That some people learn, some people say that the only time it's tzarech davar mutter is mutter, okay, is when. the only time it's called tiltum min hatzad is only like the case like this, indirect tiltum. But if you're moving it with a broom, that's not called indirect tiltum. That's just an extension of your hand. Right? So this is a big machlokes. The general klal is that people are makel, but that's called tiltum min hatzad. But the truth is, okay, and therefore you would be allowed to take the broom and move it to the side. The question I'm not sure about is, let's say you put the dustpan underneath it. Now you need the space. So can you pick it up and put it back in the freezer? That I'm not sure about, because once you pick it up, maybe. But anyway,
when you pick something up,
you have to put it wherever you want. Exactly. So that's my tzad. Maybe you pick it up for the space. Once it's in your hand, you're allowed to put it in the freezer. That would be a shiloh.
Don't put it in the freezer. What about just the wrong keys?
That doesn't help for this. No, not for this. No, not for this purpose. You're not allowed to move it just to save your money in this instance. That's the whole chiddush that we're saying. Now it's like this. Now, that's basically the halacha of tiltum min hatzad. I think we discussed a lot of different scenarios of tiltum min hatzad when you're doing an indirect tiltum. So for example, someone asked me the other day, what about a garbage pail that you open the garbage, you open the drawer to pull out the garbage? What's with that? You open the door, you know, and the garbage, you know, pulls out. So we said garbage is muktzah, generally speaking. Not necessarily, but generally speaking, garbage is muktzah. So you pull it out.
Why are you pulling it out?
Because that's where the garbage is.
But you're trying to access the garbage, or you're just opening the door?
Yeah, so you're pulling it out to access the garbage. So even if you're going to argue that it's tiltum min hatzad, but you're pulling it out for what purpose? Only for the for the garbage. So it's not so pashut. So you have to figure out a way to make it mutter. Either you have to make it that you have mutter stuff in the garbage, so that, you know, you're really moving the mutter stuff. It's still a little hard. What? It's a little hard to fully understand, but that's another example. We have to work it out. Where's the tiltum muktzah? But there's another principle in tiltum muktzah. Okay, this is very nagah. The Chazon Ish argued with this, but everyone other than the Chazon Ish holds Mishnah Berurah and everything. There's another way to move something, and that's called tiltul begufay. Tiltul begufay means you're moving it through your body, and not through a typical way of moving it. So in other words, if you go like this, okay. So when you're moving something through your body, that the Mishnah Berurah holds is 100% mutter under all circumstances, even if you're doing it to save the muktzah.
So you could do that with the meat on the floor.
So if the meat on the floor, even if you would say you're not allowed to, the meat on the floor, you're allowed to kick it with your. You're maybe not allowed to move it with a broom, but you'd be allowed to kick it.
Wow.
So kicking it is less chomer than moving it with a broom. In this case,
kick it into the basket.
Except for the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish argues on that. But I'm just saying kicking it to the side.
Oh, but that saves it halfway. It keeps someone from falling, but it doesn't
get it. It doesn't get it back in the freezer.
That's
correct. Are there people nowadays that eat raw meat?
Raw meat?
Yeah. Raw fish, yes. Raw meat, no?
Yeah. I don't know about raw meat. I know the freezer.
I had some. I went to lunch.
I mean, if it was defrost, I'm saying, over the course of Shabbos.
I went to lunch with nothing somebody. Different. He wanted, took him to a restaurant, and he asked him for a raw hamburger. They wouldn't give it to him, so he said, okay, cook it for 30 seconds. And it was raw, and he said, it's overcooked. I heard that he went hunting one time, and they found a animal, like a cow or something, on a side of the road somewhere, and he just got out and he took a knife and he started eating.
Who?
This guy. He's a country kind of guy. He's a... from the country.
What? Well, the Gemara says like that. That maybe raw meat is not muktzah because some people eat it. But
today.
But nowadays, I don't think that's the case.
Guy, he'll come down. He'll consume it without even chopping it.
You saw this guy with your own eyes?
Yeah, I said, why don't you eat the hamburger cooked? So I would never eat it like that. I was eating a cooked hamburger and he was eating a raw hamburger. It was in the oven for no time. It was
That's interesting.
So this tiltum in a goof, what's the difference between taking something with your hand?
No, because with your hand, that Chazal say, that's called a Maisa Tiltum. That Chazal say, give it a Chashivus. So that's awesome. But a tiltul begufoy is not really called a maisa tiltul at all. It's not called that. Chazal just said, you're not allowed to carry muktzah, you're not allowed to move muktzah. Kicking it or moving it in an indirect way, in a way that's takamuta. Okay, Chazon Ish, I want to explain again. Chazon Ish argues with this. But everyone other than Chazon Ish holds that it's permitted. So it means you're allowed to kick the muktzah, you can do whatever you want. Okay? So that's a very important principle in muktzah, okay? Now, so most things, the truth is I only said this now, because if I would have said this earlier, then like the rest of muktzah is not so nagea. Because most things you can end up kicking, or moving like this, or moving like that. You know, the case of the candlestick, so you can't move it any other way. You have to be careful with it. But on many, many things, now let's say something's in the way, you just want to get it, kick it under the couch and get it off the Shabbos.
Right, so why do we worry about shaking things off if we're...
All that's with your hand. Anytime you're doing with your hand, that's already more chomer. And then the whole shaila is with your, just kicking it away. Maybe not so. Maybe it's not so bad. That's the heart. Okay. Now it's like this. To just get onto a couple other issues of muktzah. So there's another issue of muktzah that comes up, which is what's the halacha of a shever kli? Shivrei kelim. Shever kli is something, a kli that broke on Shabbos. So a kli which breaks on Shabbos, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? So it doesn't have a purpose anymore. So mele it's muktzah. So if you have a chair, and the chair, you know, whatever, the chair somehow one of the legs breaks, so not only is it not a good idea to sit on it, and you can't fix it, but maybe both the leg and the chair is a possibility that there will be muktzah. Now, if you could fix them after Shabbos, they still have a purpose. You'll save them. Now, you can't fix it on Shabbos. But for sure, something which is broken in a way that it's not fixable becomes muktzah on Shabbos. Now, it's mice, there's still a gzeira that if you never sat on it with the leg broken, it's also muktzah. Because we're afraid that if you sit on it, you'll end up fixing it. But, and therefore it becomes muktzah. But generally speaking, something which breaks and is not usable is muktzah. So for example, your glasses break on Shabbos. Okay, if your glasses break on Shabbos, well, the knob, the side, whatever this thing, what's this called?
Frame?
No, what's this thing called? The earpiece?
What happened?
Where are you
getting
frame?
Frame,
the whole thing's the frame.
Okay, how are you?
Sure.
So if this thing breaks on Shabbos, if this piece comes off the glasses on Shabbos, so now, not only you're not allowed to put it back in, but now this part is muktzah for sure.
And what happens? You're walking down the street. What do you do?
Kick it to the side.
You kick it
into the grass where no one's going to find it.
And the same thing, your lens comes out.
So lens coming out may not be so bad, because there's a lot of places going to hold you allowed to put the lens back in on Shabbos.
Really?
It depends, only on the rimless, like these kinds.
I thought it was only the pops in and out constantly.
Well, it depends. If it's like, I think this kind, not this kind, the half rims where the bottom is like a wire.
Yes, like this with a wire.
That, I think they say, is a little not so bad. Yeah, I mean, the regular ones, like the regular glasses, that could be zasser. To put in, because those, you know, are more fixed.
I thought it depends if it constantly pulls in.
And if it comes in and out all the time, also, right, then it'll be muktzah, yeah. So a shever kli is muktzah. Now, why? Because it's useless. Something that broke is useless. Okay, so it's muktzah. Now, the shah is like this. What we have nowadays, which is very, very common, is disposable stuff, disposable papers, disposable plates and cups and all that. So disposable cups and plates. So once you use them once, what's the derech ha'olam? You throw them out, right? So you come into a place, into a kiddush, and there's all these plates all over the place. So is that considered a usable thing at this point? Or do you say, since the plate is made to be used once, so it's like a shever kli. It's the same thing as a shever kli. What's the idea of a shever kli? It's that once the kli broke, so it's not usable in its original form. It's not usable to be used as its, as the primary kli. So here you have a kli, which is used once. Once it's used once, it's not meant to be used again. So it's as if it's broken and it's meant to be thrown out. So does the plate become muktzah?
I would say no, because there's still a lot of people that are using more than
one. Right. So there's a big machlokes in the place. So l'chayra, a paper plate, something like taka, like you use a paper plate, you use it for herring, that's pretty much done. Mm-hmm. Right? But let's say you have...
I'm not going here, I'm going to get washing it.
What? Yeah, but I'm saying, but if you have a plastic plate, so theoretically you can rinse them out.
Yeah, like the nice china.
Yeah, you know, you can rinse it out. So now, however, the derech of many people, most people, is to throw it out after one use. So this is a big machlekes. So generally, what we say is that most places are saying that at the point that if you haven't thrown it out yet, it's not muktzah. Because maybe, you know, it is still usable, even though you're not going to use it. But the reason you're not going to use it, not because it broke, is the reason you're not going to use it because you have a personal problem with it. But it's bad, it's still usable.
The person who left the plate there will probably use it. The fact is, he left his plate there. And I'm just kidding, I won't use the plate because it has his herring tidbits on it, but it would be my herring pieces, I would eat it.
You're saying it's intrinsically reusable.
The fact that
you're saying it's still reusable for him himself, so that itself means that it has a shimush.
Yeah, but what if you're your own table at home and you're eating on disposables, you have a bunch of guests, and the thing was full of troll and nobody's using this plate anymore. Yeah. You can pick it up and throw it down the garbage.
Why? Because it's totally...
now, isn't it? According to our definition.
Well, first of all, the cholent itself is still edible.
No, we're talking about just cholent
residue. You can't... what type of plate?
Paper plate.
Oh, so it's a paper plate, so that should become muktzah, in Hanami. A paper plate that Lamais has got... It's not washable.
So basically what you're saying is that you can't use paper plates on Shabbos.
No, I'm saying... So now, let's say the paper plate got muktzah. It became muktzah in the middle of your meal. So all of a sudden now, what are you supposed to do?
Right. So you're sitting there, you don't clean up.
You're sitting there eating and like clearing the whole time. At what point is my plate muktzah now? Right? No, so the point is though, is that once it becomes muktzah, you're right, you shouldn't move it for no reason, but you're allowed to move it to clear the table because it's like a graf shorei. Because at that point it's bothering you. If it's bothering you and it's disgusting, you're allowed to move it just like you're allowed to move garbage and you're allowed to clear the garbage. So, but you're right, you shouldn't move it around for no particular reason. Meaning, let's say I'm sitting here, okay, and now I'm finished eating, so I just push it away and then I'll clear the table later. That you shouldn't do. Because what are you pushing it aside for? Maybe it's muktzah already. But you're talking about if you mamish, you can't even use it anymore. I don't know if that comes to that daraga, you know. But now the question though becomes, what about once you throw it in the garbage? Okay? So before you throw it in the garbage, maybe someone will still use it. Once you throw it in the garbage, what's the din? Once you throw it in the garbage, do you say that's for sure? Derech b'nei adam is that once you're throwing it in the garbage, it's dead. Now, let me just be mocked in something. If you throw a real fork into the garbage, right, you would take it out. So the fact that you threw a fork into the garbage, the Gemara says, is batla daita itza kol adam. Even if you meant to throw it in the garbage, it doesn't become muktzah. Because most people don't throw such a thing into the garbage, so it can't become ois kli. It doesn't lose the shame kli. Okay? The fork doesn't become now unusable just because you decided to throw it in the garbage. But what about a plastic fork that you throw in the garbage? That already is borderline, because even though the kli itself is theoretically usable, right? But once you throw it in the garbage, it's not usable. So there, what's the din? So this is a huge machlokes in the Poskim. Rosh Hashanah was machmer that once you throw it into the garbage, it's muktzah, and others are machmer. It's a big machlokes in the Lumdus. What's the point? Because do you look at it that the kli is still usable, or do you look at it since no one uses it, so it doesn't matter that intrinsically it's usable because no one's going to use it. So, you know, now what's the nafkamina? Who cares? It's in the garbage anyway. What's the difference if it's muktzah or not muktzah? Because the nafkamina is that most of the things in our garbage fall into that type of cat. Let's say you have your garbage is full of paper plates, paper napkins, not napkins, but plastic plates, plastic cups, let's say old soda bottles, all these type of stuff. Okay? You just clear the table and you put it in the garbage. So if they're not muktzah, it comes out that the garbage is not going to be muktzah either.
Then you could take,
the garbage out. Because roiv of the garbage, the value of the heter is going to be more than the value of the iser. So it's not going to be muktzah. Okay, so it makes a huge nafkamina what the halacha is, because even though the nafkamina it theoretically makes a nafkamina if you're allowed to take it out, but that's pretty, you know, let's assume no one's going to take it out. But the nafkamina is, does the garbage have a status of muktzah now? If it's not muktzah, so you could do, you don't have all the limitations that we've been talking about in garbage. But if it is muktzah, right? So that's a question. So lemaisa, if all there is in there is these type of things, then lechari could be mekel. A lot of people hold you could be mekel. Okay, if this is, if most of the garbage is really not like that, maybe even if you have a, if you, once you have a little bit and really got very very dirty, then you know not. But yeah, so if you come to a kiddush and you have all these paper plates and everything, and you want to make room for yourself a little bit, you know, like. So that's mutter also, because it's bothering you. It's like a graf shorei. But stam is like to pile up all the plates for no particular reason, just because stam you're bored. You're sitting there. How long can you stay by Shalom Zachar already? You know, like, so you just like you sit there piling up all the plates. That could be his taka problem.
What's the term? Graf shel.
Graf shel rei. So it means like something which is disgusting, which you're allowed to move. Now, the other thing is also what comes up. Is which is also learned out of the sugya of shivrei kalim, is what about a button that falls off, like this thing? It's like it's on its last legs. So this button is about to fall off. So if it falls off on Shabbos, what's the halacha?
It is reusable.
Oh, so it's reusable. You just can't sew it back on Shabbos. So what? No. So,
What would be
muktzah? Chayr, there's nothing to do with it, but you plan on. No. Let me maximize this. A button which was loose or off, I mean, before Shabbos, that's taka muktzah. There's nothing to do with it. But if it was on the beged before Shabbos, and now it falls off on Shabbos, then you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Because since it was on the beged before Shabbos, it was already established as like part of the jacket. Just like I'm allowed to move these buttons, even though there's no use in these buttons, right?
Yeah, but every Shabbos started, it was
a month of Kli. Yeah, but a Shabbos Kli, Shabbos Kli, that's not fixable. I'm saying a Shabbos Kli. Here the word is that you still see it as a chelik of the beged, because Motzei Shabbos to sew it back on. So that's why my case of the earpiece, as I called it, this thing, if it falls off, it may not be muktzah, because pashtas, you're going to try to reattach it, right? So it could be not muktzah, but if it's not reattachable, then it is muktzah. So in other words, that's the vart. The vart is this beged, every part of the beged was mutter before Shabbos. Now a part falls off. If you're going to reattach it, Motzei Shabbos, so it's still considered part of the beged. It's just part of the beged is here, part of the beged is there. So that's okay. But if you can't reattach it, at that point, then the taka becomes muktzah. All right. So that's. It comes up with this. It comes up with a whole bunch of a lot of scenarios where you have something which would fall off in the glasses case, the buttons. It comes up with, where did we have it recently? Yeah, a guy had it with a screw on a chair, a dining room chair. All of a sudden, the screw starts falling out. So he asked me. So that's also, you know. If you can reattach it, it's going to be mutter. Or what's common is also like the plastic pieces on the bottom of these chairs. These plastic pieces, right? That you put them on so that shouldn't scrape the floor, or in that stender on the bottom on the leg. If you notice, there's a plastic rectangular piece. For display, right, as we speak. See that rectangular plastic piece? So if it comes out of the thing. So it's not so posh that you're allowed to put it back in on Shabbos. But it's not going to be muktzah because you're going to reattach it Motzei Shabbos. So anytime you have something like that that you want to keep aside from Motzei Shabbos to reattach, that could be mutter.
Mm-hmm. Technically reattach anything today with super glue.
The question is, would you?
The arm comes off to reattach.
What?
Person's arm comes off to reattach.
No, but let's say you have a wooden chair that cracks like in a way that it's very difficult to, you know.
Right.
You know, not necessarily.
Plastic especially, it's not easy to
exactly
replace.
Exactly. So not everything is going to be, is going to.
Is it whether are. Is it whether you would reattach it or whether
the derech? I think the derech, yeah. The average person, yeah. Now, by the way, that reminds me of something else I wanted to speak out. What?
Law, everything is based on the reasonable man. Uh-huh. What would a reasonable
man? Right. Well, there's another point is the following. The Shiloh with the screw reminded me of a different Shiloh I wanted to speak out. The Shiloh, the screw fell out, right? So now, you were saying that it's not Muktzah. No, what about a different case where the screw had fallen out already before Shabbos? Then the screw would be Muktzah. So what happened was, a friend of mine, the screw is on the floor. The kid, one of his kids comes and picks up the screw. So he's afraid. He had perfect timing. I'll pick up my kid and I'll tell him to put it down on a high place so that it won't get... Otherwise, if it stays on the floor the whole Shabbos, he's never going to find this thing again. It's a very big screw. It's a very specific type of screw. The kids are going to play with it. It's going to get lost.
A screw comes off. It's not Muktzah.
I know. No, I'm talking about a screw that fell off before Shabbos. Okay, so the halacha is very interesting. This happens a lot of times. The halacha is you're not allowed to pick up your child who's holding muktzah for that purpose. Right. And the child, not so much of us, but it's like you're indirectly moving the muktzah. He's a shayla. Why can a kid? But a person can't become a bussist to have kli lachara. You're not going to be mevatel. Maybe you should be, you know, bussist to the. But it's going to be a total minatzad. So therefore, if you want to protect that screw, you can't pick up your child and say, "Okay, Chesky, put it down over here." You're not allowed to do that.
So kick it. So he gives what? The police
the child?
No.
Get over there. Yeah. Yeah, so you could kick it aside. That's true. But I'm saying, once the kid picked it up, what should you do? No. So there's one Asa. Kick the... Yeah. Kick it until it gets to the place you want it to. But yeah, you're not allowed to pick up a kid. It's a Gemara. You're not allowed to pick up a kid because it's like a total minatzad. Okay?
What did he do?
So what do you do? You have to encourage him to do it, maybe.
Can you tell him if it's okay for me to put it back in the freezer?
What, if he picked it up already? If he picked it up already, maybe. But not, you're not allowed to do it if... You can't do it if you can't tell him to pick it up, that's for sure. No, that's for sure that you can't tell him to pick it up. But,
no.
Okay, so what's the din by total muktzah of a guy? Can you have a guy do muktzah for you? Okay, so one of the things that we always learned when we learned Amir Lakum was that anything that you could theoretically do, you're allowed to ask a guy to do. Okay, so now, let's say this, theoretically speaking, any muktzah you could kick.
We learned in Esther's Shir for a schus from the idea of here that just right now they just started entering Gaza.
Oh, really?
Your safety.
Half hour ago.
What, a half hour ago?
Yeah,
now?
Half hour ago. I got the email also.
Okay, Mr. Shem, Mr. Stavis. So the halach is.
Gaza.
What?
The soldiers running to Gaza.
Oh, the soldiers running in?
Ground troops.
It's easier to get people.
It's what?
So careful.
With no choice.
So it's easier to get them.
I don't want
to
kill them. And now it's a second hour.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Shem, Mr. Stavis, Mr. Gleiser. So, If a person, so we said a yisoid is like this. Amir la'akum, anything that you could do yourself, okay? Anything you could do yourself, you could ask a guy to do for you. So let's say you could wash the dishes. So you could ask a guy to wash dishes. Even if she's going to wash the dishes, she's going to use hot water. Okay? Right. In other words, because you're not asking her to use hot water.
I'm not asking her to use hot water. I can ask the other guy to get me the same result that I could do.
Right, exactly. So now, let's say, so the question is, total muksa. So the place can say, since most muksa you could move by kicking it or moving it with your elbows or whatever, if I want to move this, I could theoretically go like this, whatever, and move it with my elbows. So therefore, I'm allowed to ask a guy to do total muksa for me. Any muksa. So any there's no isra mila akum on muksa. No, it's a big chiddush.
If we learned out that we can do, they can do whatever we can do on Shabbos, and they can't do things that we can't do, and if we're allowed to move it in that way,
but that means that you're asking her to move it. She's not going to move it like this. She's going to move it with her hand, which you can't do. But the word is, since I could theoretically get this from point A to point B in a mutter way, so she could also get it from point A to B, and I don't care now how she does it.
Right.
That's the chiddush. Even though it's very unrealistic to assume that she's going to pick it up with her elbows, but since theoretically the result is something I could achieve, so it's mutter to ask. So generally speaking, there's no isra of total muktzah on Amir la'akum. There's no isra Amir la'akum on total muktzah. The only shaila is, let's say this case of the kishka, when it fell out of the freezer, it's very hard for you to get it back into the freezer. Then how are you going to get back into the freezer? You're going to kick it? I mean, what, you know, like a professional soccer player, like, how are you going to do that? What? You're not allowed to do it until the you can't do it to save the kishka. That's what we're saying. So the only thing you could do it is aide tilto bagufay. So with your elbows, whatever. So I guess theoretically,
you can use your teeth.
Right, you could pick it up with your teeth or something and put it in there. What? That's tilto klachayad. Yeah. So that would be. That would be mutter. So I think pretty much we're wrapping up the halachas of muktza.
So can I just ask a question? So when we're talking about being able to move something, we're not by using our hands. We're just saying a shinui, essentially.
Normally a shinui is asur midrabanan. You can't write with your left hand. You know, you can't do something with a shinui lechatchila on Shabbos. Muktza is different. Muktza you can do with a shinui lechatchila on Shabbos. Essentially, yeah. That's the var. That's why it's a chiddush. Okay, so Lemaisa, I think pretty much we wrapped up. I think this is the sixth shir. I don't know. I think pretty much we wrapped up Mukta. There's one other Indian in Mukta. Maybe I'll just say quickly in 5 minutes. Not really the Mukta itself, but it's related to Mukta. And then we have to decide what we should continue on with the next week. What we should learn.
What's the we said last week? We're going to talk about Mukta in a pocket.
Oh. Mukta in a pocket. Yeah. I mean, basically the halacha is with mukta in the pocket. Like I said, I think I mentioned last week already, a shirt pocket is different than a pants pocket. So a shirt pocket, if there's mukta in your shirt pocket, it could be that the whole shirt becomes the buses to the pen. So if you have a pen in your Shabbos shirt on Shabbos, the whole shirt could be the mukta. It's a buses. Well, it's tilta bagufay. Right? Because you're not really carrying it with you're just wearing it. So I don't know if you're mechuyav, but I don't know how you're going to take it off. Or once you unbutton it, you have to like shake it off or whatever. And then get it off. Or at least once it's off, you can't move it anymore. That's for sure. Okay?
What if the pen falls out?
No. It doesn't help. Because we said if it was a bus, it's the whole Ben Ashmashas. So it's out of commission. That shirt is gone for Shabbos. Okay? The problem is right what happened was halacha l'maisa by me was I never do this because I'm very makbid not to put my wallet in my Shabbos clothes because whatever it should be because I didn't want it to happen. The week we learned this in the Koil in Yeshiva in Lakewood, we learned this halacha with the pockets. So that week, Friday night, I had my wallet in my back pocket and my pants.
Don't tell me you gotta take your pants off.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the thing. So a pants pocket is different than a shirt pocket. Because a shirt pocket is part of the shirt. But the pants pocket is really its own cleat. So basically the halacha is that the cleat, the pocket becomes the bosses to the wallet, but the pants are not. So that means if you want to shake it out, you should really shake it out. You could still, the question is what type of tiltle you're doing. So the place can say you should not continue walking if it's in your pocket. You should rather shake it out because you're doing a tiltle min hatzad. It's like what you're doing is a tiltle min hatzad. You're moving it. By moving, you should avoid the tiltum because it's the normal way of carrying. So since it's the normal way of carrying, so you should avoid that if you can. So now, you should avoid it if you can. So now the best way to do it is by shaking it out. Now what do you shake out? This is the thing. So should you shake out like get this, like you, the pocket, or you, really the best way to shake it out is just by moving the pants and not the pocket itself. Understand? So in other words, hold the pants upside down.
And there's a person.
Someone came to a famous thing. Someone came to Moshe Bick, right? Someone came to Moshe Bick. Moshe Bick was very, very sharp. So he came to him and he said that. Something along the lines, I don't remember exactly, you know the story exactly? Something like he was crossing the street and right before him a car had come by he had just crossed the street. So I think that was the story. He had just crossed the street, come off the sideway, and a car came on the curve right where he was standing. So he wanted to know if he should make bench goyim. So Moshe Bick said, "Well, every time your wife hangs your pants on the clothesline, do you bench goyim that you're not in it?" I don't know if you exactly want to shake out your pants upside down, but the point is...
One was a more normal thing that's intentionally done. One was an accident.
But his point was that you not being there is not a reason to make goyma. So, you should shake it out if you can. Bottom line is, okay, look at me, the pants pockets.
In a different way? Or
what?
Just shaking it out regularly?
Just shake it out regularly.
So you
don't know. Yeah, try to shake it out without moving it as much as possible. Okay, next time I say that we're going to do something, can you let me know Sunday night so I can prepare it exactly and make sure I got it. But the last inyan in Milksa, which we're not going to talk about now, we'll be makdim next week, is the inyan of Bitol Kli Mehechanoi, which is an inyan where you take away, can you make something Muktzah on Shabbos? Are you allowed? Are you allowed to take a Kli and like make it into a Basis on Shabbos? We'll see, all the applications, it's very practical, it comes up all the time. Mehechanoi, yeah. Let me know, remind me Sunday night or something about that. Okay, but then we should discuss what else.